We shall turn to the part of God's word that we considered, or that which we read, and that is Genesis chapter 32. And we will read again at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And so on, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Prayer is a sign of spiritual life. And just as a newborn's cry assures the parents that he's alive and well, so the cry of the new birth in prayer gives plain evidence of the new creature in Christ. You remember the Apostle Paul, and this example is referred to often. Before he was converted, he was a Pharisee, and no doubt said many prayers since he was a small boy. But as you know, it is one thing to say prayers, but it is another to offer true prayer. Prayer is the offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. And so when Paul was converted, his words were, as it were, transformed into desires. It was not just words, but the words were expressions of his desires from within, so that when he was converted, something new and different had taken place. And the Lord tells Ananias that he would know who Paul was by this fact: "Behold, he prayeth." Behold, he prayeth. Well, Jacob also prayed, and his prayer was out of a deep sense of need. He felt the danger that he was in. He was threatened by an attack from a foe that was stronger than himself. And Jacob felt powerless before his brother Esau. But in his great distress, he cried to the Lord. He was praying, offering up true prayer. And in doing so, in actual fact, he had power with God. Out of weakness, he was made strong. He prayed. He persevered in prayer. And as a prince, he had power with God and with man. And Jacob prevailed. So we read that in verse 27. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Well, with the Lord's help this evening, we're going to consider, first of all, the fact that Jacob prayed. And the question is put to you and me: do we pray? And secondly, Jacob persevered. He persevered in prayer. Do we? And thirdly, Jacob prevailed. He persevered in praying for the blessing. He would not let the angel go until he received the blessing from the angel. And so he succeeded in obtaining the blessing because he was determined, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Jacob prevailed. And so will you and I if we also pray with perseverance. First, Jacob prayed. Secondly, Jacob persevered. And thirdly, Jacob prevailed. Well, may the Lord guide our thoughts and meditations as we consider this account of Jacob wrestling with the angel. And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." First of all, Jacob prayed. Who was Jacob? Who was the man that wrestled with this man who was actually the angel? His prayer is recorded earlier in this chapter. Well, what kind of praying person was he? Well, it was the prayer of a man who feared God and who also believed in God. Jacob believed the promises. And so he was a praying man. Now, all of us are required to pray. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Just as all men are commanded to repent, so they are directed to prayer, and we cannot really repent of our sins without prayer. So everyone is required to repent and pray, even the wicked. Simon Magus, who was in the gall of bitterness, was commanded to repent and pray. And the very light of nature teaches us to pray. And it would be, the person would be an atheist, or a practical atheist, if he did not pray. So prayer is required of all. And yet, whose prayers are heard? The prayers that are heard are of those who do not regard iniquity in their hearts, as we sang. They are comparatively offering up clean hands. That is, they are open before the Lord, and they desire to repent of their sins. They're confessing their sins. They're endeavoring to forsake their sins. And these are the prayers that are heard. The prayers of those who pray in the name of the Lord. So it was with Jacob. And as one commentator summed it up, this was the prayer of a kind husband, an affectionate father, and a firm believer in the promises. And that is what Jacob reveals in his prayer from verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return into thy country, and so on. Well, Jacob is praying to the Lord because he knows that he's in danger. So clearly he's praying out of a sense of need. He had been informed that his brother Esau was coming with 400 men, and what else would he be coming with 400 men for but to attack his family? That is certainly what Jacob dreaded. And so Jacob comes to the Lord in his need, and he's offering up his desire to God for God's help. So he is praying according to the will of God. We're to come to God for help in our difficulties. And he's feeling his need. He's feeling his danger. He acknowledges later on in verse 11, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. So here's his deep need. He feels the predicament in which he is, and he's seeking the Lord for his help and protection. Well, as we said, he is praying to God, and in this sense, he's praying in the name of the Lord when he acknowledges the God of his father Abraham and the God of his father Isaac. He knows that God had promised great things to his family, and he has made a covenant with his fathers. And so Jacob based his expectation of God's help and safety upon the promises that God gave to his family, to Abraham and Isaac, and to himself. And the promise of God included the coming of the Messiah. So God had promised to give salvation to sinners through the coming of the seed of the woman, who was also the seed of Abraham. And Jacob appeals to God, who stands in a covenant relation to him and his family. So that is telling us, or reminding us, that we are to pray in the name of Christ. We're to base our hopes of acceptance and salvation itself upon Christ and what he has done as the one mediator between God and men. We're not praying because we are worthy of the blessing. We need the blessing, but we don't deserve the blessing. We're not praying because of our righteousness and God will look upon us favorably because of our merit? No. We're to lay aside our own merit, lay aside our own righteousness, and rely upon Christ's righteousness as the ground of acceptance with God. To expect mercy from God because of Christ. It is to pray for Christ's sake in his name. So Jacob is appealing to God and especially his promise. Now this is what is necessary in prayer, that we base our hopes upon Christ and God's own word, what he himself has promised. We're to take the promises of the word and turn them into prayers. So Jacob pleads the special promise that God would grant to him a safe return to his own country. The Lord which says unto me, this is verse 9, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. It was God himself who said that he would deal well with Jacob. And this is what Jacob has in view. He's holding on to this. God has said this, and I am praying that he will do it just as he said. And the other promise is that God would increase his family to be a great nation. In verse 12, And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So God had promised that Jacob's family would become a great nation. And if so, then surely God would keep him safe from Esau. Because if Esau wiped out his family, the mother with the children, then how could his family increase to be a great nation? So he is pleading the promises. He knows that God will surely do him good and protect him, but he is bringing this to God in prayer. Now we might ask, why do we pray? Why is Jacob praying? Is it so that we can inform the Lord of our needs? Does not God already know what we need? Yes, he knows what we need. We're not trying to give God information. He knows exactly our situation. We're not trying either to persuade the Lord to do something he's unwilling to do for us. But prayer, as we've said before, prepares the heart to receive the mercies of God. It is so that we will appreciate the gift when God does give it. We will see that we will appreciate it all the more. We will value it because prayer makes us think about our needs and think about God's mercy and his power and willingness to grant it. And so prayer is preparing our hearts to receive the blessing. It is the means of ourselves drawing near to God. We're not bringing God to us, but prayer is bringing us to the Lord and to receiving the blessing. You might think of it this way. It's like being in a boat with a rope that is attached to the pier. And so you're pulling that rope, and it looks like the pier or the bank is coming closer to you, but really you're pulling the rope is causing the boat and yourself to get closer to the pier. So by our prayers, we're not pulling God down to us, but we're bringing ourselves closer to the blessing, closer to the reception of the gift. And of course, if we're really praying in that way, it's by the grace of God giving us his Spirit and enabling us to pray. So Jacob is praying. He's a man of prayer. He is a believer in the promises. He cares about his family. He desires their safety. And so should we desire the safety of others. And we should be pleading the promises and bringing all our concerns and needs to the Lord. Now, Jacob is also humble in his prayer. He is confessing his unworthiness. He begins, in the middle of his prayer, he certainly acknowledges, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. So Jacob acknowledges his unworthiness. He's not praying and hoping for the blessing because he has earned God's favor. No, the blessing is free and it is given to us in spite of our unworthiness. I am not worthy of the least. Not even the smallest blessings can we lay claim to as something we deserve. Friends, we don't even deserve the air that we breathe. And so pray that we would feel this in our own souls. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth, which I believe is pointing to the fact that God was truthful in his dealings with David. God was faithful. God had helped him as he promised. And Jacob is not worthy of that mercy of God, nor the truth and the faithfulness of God to him. And he is acknowledging his unworthiness. And so should we. As the larger catechism puts it, we are to pray with an awful apprehension of the majesty of God and deep sense of our own unworthiness, necessities, and sins. We should feel our unworthiness. We should humble ourselves. And that by acknowledging the majesty, the holiness of God. Prayer involves confession of sin. We're to be confessing our sins in our prayers and indeed going to the Lord for mercy because of our sins. But also in that prayer of Jacob, he is acknowledging God's goodness. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. God had faithfully provided for Jacob. He had given him flocks and herds and men servants and women servants, and he had numerous children. What kindness God had shown to Jacob. He did not neglect to give thanks to the Lord. We should not neglect to give thanks to the Lord for his many, many mercies to us. And that is a part of prayer, thanksgiving. And the essence of prayer, of course, is the desire. It is making petition. It is offering our desires to God for things that are agreeable to his will. And as we said, Jacob certainly requested safety for himself and his family. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother. He's concerned about Esau coming and smiting not just his flocks and herds, but his own children and his wife, his wives and his children. He had an earnest desire for deliverance, and he is bringing that desire to the Lord. So again, we should ask ourselves, do we pray? And do we pray out of a sense of need? We can ask ourselves, if we don't have desires for blessings and mercies from God, why is it? Well, if we don't have desires in our hearts, then it is likely because we do not feel our need. We're full. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. There's honey hanging from the branch. The bees have a hive and there's honey there, but the person doesn't want it because they just had a large meal. The full person does not want the honey. And those who are full of themselves and they're happy with all their possessions and they're getting on in life, they're not feeling their need of God's grace. They're not feeling their need of forgiveness for their sins. Therefore, they don't desire God's mercy. They don't desire the grace of God. But we should pray that God would put in us poverty of spirit, because Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And having a sense of need, there will be a desire for those blessings. So it was with Jacob. He was brought into great straits. Sometimes we need to be brought into great straits so we'll feel our need, we'll be convicted, and we'll see that we need God's help. We're brought to an end of ourselves. We need the help of God. One of the Puritans said, "If anyone can't pray, let him go to sea, and there he will learn." It's the sailors that have the ups and downs and the storms of the ocean, and then they are brought to pray, at least they superficially. And we need to pray that there will be real desires in our hearts for God's mercy in Christ. Praying for deliverance from the guilt of sin and the wrath of God, and that God would bless us with his favor in Christ forgiving our sins by the precious blood of Christ, looking to Jesus, who God has appointed to be the sin bearer, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, praying in the name of Jesus and praying for forgiveness by his blood, and bringing all our needs to him, casting our care upon him, for he cares for them. Well, Jacob is praying for the blessing. He says later on, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Clearly, he desired the blessing. He wanted to know. He wanted to be assured that God would grant safety to him, that God would deliver him from the evil that was threatened by the hand of Esau. He was fearing the 400 armed men attacking and slaying the women and children. It was Jacob's worst nightmare that he was dreading as far as human things are concerned. But he was bringing it to the Lord. And in all our fears, whatever they are, we should bring them to the Lord, just as Jacob did. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And so he does take action. He's using the means. He divides his flocks and herds into two companies, and he sends them on over so that they will meet Esau. And if one is attacked, then the other will escape. He reasons, but he keeps his family with himself. He's still on the north side of the ford Jabbok, and he stays there that night, we read. But then we read that he rises up in the middle of the night. Perhaps he can't sleep. So he decides to make use of the time. Crosses over the ford Jabbok, bringing his two wives and two women servants and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And now he's alone. Perhaps he crosses the ford again on the north side of it. It was the south side that from which Esau was approaching. But he knows that it's going to take some time for Esau and his 400 men to come to them. And so it's still in the night, and he's alone now. Jacob was left alone, verse 24. But he was not alone, because we read that there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And that leads us to the second point, which is that Jacob persevered. Jacob persevered in prayer. His desires were no doubt the same as the prayer that he offered earlier. He is still waiting upon God. He's looking to the Lord to give an intimation of his goodwill to him, just as he would look in the direction of the east for the rising of the sun. He was waiting upon the Lord to rise upon him and lift up the light of his countenance upon him. And so it seems that he was praying at this time. He's alone, but he's alone with God. Do we desire to get alone with the Lord? Do we take action in the sense of actually taking time apart to go to the Lord in prayer? It's no use saying, I don't have time for this, because we will make time when we want it. What you desire to do, above all, more than other things, you're certainly going to take time for. You will take time to do what is important to you. And so here was Jacob, and he was alone. And are we following the word of Christ, who says that we should go into our closet and pray to the Father in heaven in secret? Well, Jacob needed to be alone. He felt his need, and he desired to draw near to God in prayer. So perhaps he was meditating, he was praying, and as the Hebrews would do, they would lift up their hands to God in prayer. As David says in Psalm 28, as we sang there, that he would go to the Lord, cry to him, and hear, he prays that God would hear the voice of his supplications. He says, verse 2, "When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle." So the Hebrews would lift up their hands to God in prayer. And so Jacob is probably lifting up his hands, praying to God earnestly. Perhaps he's more intense now. He's feeling his need more fully. He's seeing the opposition that confronts him, and he's praying with all his might. And as his hands are lifted up in the air, he feels the hands of another person clinging to his hands, because it's a man that has appeared to Jacob. Jacob is not alone after all, because there's a man who is wrestling with him. And we read that there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Jacob is praying, and now there is someone who is wrestling with him as he is praying. And who is this man? Well, we read later on that when the wrestling and the prayer was over, Jacob says, "I have seen God face to face." So the man was really God appearing in the form of a man. And we also read about this account in Hosea chapter 12 about the man that wrestled with Jacob. Hosea chapter 12, we read there about Jacob. "He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. He had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial." So Jacob was wrestling with the angel, and we believe that this is the angel of the Lord. It is the Son of God himself who appeared to Jacob in the form of a man. Jacob lifted up his hands in prayer, and the Lord himself met him and grasped his hands and wrestled with him. Jacob was praying to the Lord, and by grace he was having contact with the Lord God Almighty. And this, friends, is a picture of the struggle that believers have in prayer. A man wrestled with him. A man who is wrestling is putting forth energy. A man who is wrestling feels the strain. And this is what takes place in real, true prayer. True prayer is not the slothful person's activity. It's not mouthing a few words. It's not saying a few words that we call prayer. No, those prayers are prayerless prayers. But real prayer is struggling in prayer. It's not giving up in prayer. It's putting forth effort in prayer. Jacob is showing us here by wrestling with the angel that we should pray with our might. Yes, there is resting on the Lord. Yes, there is waiting upon God, looking to him with that eager expectation. But the fact is, we are confronted with obstacles. And there are many things to push us back, to keep us down. And we have to persevere in prayer as if we were wrestling. Jacob was meeting with resistance in his journey back to Canaan. First, he had Laban, who was trying to hold him back. And now it's his brother who's about to meet him with 400 soldiers. It seems like, as he said once later on, "All these things are against me." And so he's bringing all these things to the Lord in prayer. But the fact that he feels all the pressure, he has to go against that. Yes, he may be down in the depths, but in spite of that, he's looking up to God. He is praying, and he is praying with all his might as if he is wrestling with another man. He was, literally. And that's a picture for us, that we're to wrestle in prayer to God. Now, we may be in trials. and the trials have a tendency to perhaps wear us down or hold us back. Difficult circumstances come upon us, and we may be discouraged by them. But this should stir us up all the more to pray and to persevere in prayer. When we feel that we are not getting the answer, that we are not yet receiving the blessing, we might be dejected, but that should stir us up in our hearts to push on in prayer. So trials are a reality in the experience of God's people. They are providences that seem even to contradict God's word and his promise to us. Jacob thought that. He says, God said he would bring me back home safely, but here I'm in danger. Now, that doesn't seem like God's promise is being fulfilled to me. But no matter, he's going to struggle on in prayer. He's going to take the promise to the Lord and plead it before the Lord. God will surely do as he said. So he's wrestling, he's grappling with these circumstances, and he's wrestling with God in prayer. And so, friends, when we are brought into difficult circumstances that try us, that tend to discourage human nature, what is the effect upon us? Are we giving in to the discouragement? Or are we saying, no, this is the very reason to press on in prayer to God? This is the time for continued exertion in prayer. Yes, I'm straining, but that's to be expected. We are to wrestle in prayer. We're to recognize that the trials are from the Lord. And it's as if the Lord himself is opposing us. He has brought all of these things to pass. The circumstances are not accidental, they're not random. The Lord has ordered all these things, and in the lives of God's children is for their good. It seems that it's not for their good. It seems to weaken them. It seems to confuse them. No, it's to stir them up to prayer. It's to cause them to wrestle with the Lord in prayer. Because just as Jacob was wrestling with this man, and he thought, well, here's another thing to oppose me. But it turns out it's the Lord himself that's wrestling with Jacob. All these things are against him. No, the reality is it's for him, because it's stirring him up to pray and to say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Well, Jacob is persevering. And this is our example. The fact that we feel opposed in prayer, we may be opposed by Satan or unbelief, all these obstacles that we feel in our consciousness should have the effect of persevering prayer in our souls, because these obstacles are to test us, try our resolve. They are to increase our resolve. That should be the effect. The trials are means of grace, to stir up grace within us, to persist in prayer, as well as to prepare us for the blessing. We might even feel that God himself opposes us, that God is not willing to bless us. Well, we know that's wrong. God is willing to bless us. We're to go by the word and not our feelings. But the fact is, we may feel that. We may feel that God is not willing to bless us. And we have to wrestle, as it were, to wrestle the blessing from his hands. But you see, that experience is to make us do that. Just that. To wrestle. To struggle. To pray on. It's not so that we'll give up. That is to stir us up more vehemently to pray to the Lord for the blessing. That's what the effect should be. That's what the Lord intends, that we should increase our resolve in prayer. And if that is the effect, and it should be the effect, that's the way it should be. Well, if it is, it's by the grace of God. Oh, let us pray then that God would would work in us and enable us to pray perseveringly. And it was grace in Jacob that enabled him to persevere. Well, the angel, the man who was the angel of the covenant, the Son of God, verse 25, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So the angel saw that he, the angel, did not prevail against Jacob. Jacob was the one prevailing. Jacob was overcoming. The angel did not prevail against Jacob, but it was Jacob prevailing. Well, of course, God permitted that and gave Jacob the strength. But now the angel touches the hollow of his thigh so that it went out of joint, and Jacob had to limp after that. And so even after that, Jacob did not give up. He continued to wrestle. But the angel brought the thigh out of joint to show that it was really God's power that was enabling Jacob to so prevail. And it was a sign that God was still in control. God really does have power over Jacob. But God was giving Jacob the grace to persevere and to wrestle in prayer. And Jacob did not give up. He continued to wrestle. As he wrestled with him, verse 26, and he said, "Let me go." This is the angel saying, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Now, why did the Lord say, "Let me go"? Why did the angel, the man in the form of the angel of the covenant, or the form of man, I should say, why did he say, "Let me go, for the day breaketh"? Well, it was to show that Jacob really was prevailing. Jacob is wrestling for the blessing. He was not letting the angel go. Jacob was overcoming the angel, and so he says, "Let me go." It is true. Jacob is prevailing. And so we see that it's a great mercy that God condescends to, as it were, concede the victory to his people. As Jesus said, "Great is thy faith save thee." It was Jesus who gave the faith, but Jesus is saying, it's as if you had the strength to believe, you persevered. He's actually commending the sinner who believes. We must never forget that it is the Lord himself who gives the grace. But how merciful and condescending God is to concede a victory to Jacob and to those who persevere in prayer. But perhaps also when he says, "The day breaketh," "Let me go, for the day breaketh," it was to quicken Jacob, to stir him up, to continue the conflict. Even at this point, the day is breaking. And Jacob would say, "The day is breaking. It's about to be over. Well, this stirs me up to obtain the blessing now." Yes, he's commended for persevering prayer, but he still needs the blessing. And here is the golden opportunity to receive the blessing. He's not going to let this time be wasted. The day is breaking. The time will be over when I have to go meet Esau, but I need the blessing still. And so he stirred up all the more, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." That is Jacob's response. He's grasping the angel, holding him tightly, not letting him go. Why? Because he craves the blessing. He desires it earnestly. Is that the effect of your prayers? When you're wrestling and you feel opposed, you feel that things are going against you, does it make you give up? Or does it stir you all the more to desire the blessing earnestly and all the more vehemently? You don't want to miss the opportunity to receive the blessing of the Lord. Well, that's the way it ought to be when we feel that the Lord is giving us grace to pray and our hearts are stirred up. And we might be distracted and say, "Well, I have to do something else." Well, do I really have to do something else? I want to keep praying till I receive the blessing. When our hearts are affected and we feel desires to the Lord, that is a time to hold on and press on in prayer. We're to pray perseveringly. People may interrupt us. The phone may ring. Persevere in prayer. Yes, we have real duties to attend to. The day was breaking and he would have to go to his family and meet Esau. But not yet. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Is that our attitude? Is that our desire? And it's not as if it has to be all in one stated time or period of prayer. We're not to pray just one time, but we pray in the morning, we pray in the evening, we pray the next morning. And we should not be discouraged and say, well, I prayed for that same blessing this morning and now it's evening time to pray. Why should I pray for it again? God didn't answer me. No, I prayed for it once, I'll pray for it again, and I'll keep praying for that blessing until I receive it. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Jesus has taught us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. They may be tempted to faint. They may feel that they're growing weary. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But they are not to faint. They are to persevere. Keep wrestling in prayer until they obtain the blessing. Whatever the blessing is, yes, for the salvation of our souls, for conversion. Friends, do we have our priorities right? Are we praying earnestly that God would deliver us from going down to the pit, that our souls may see the light, and that we would look to Christ the ransom and be delivered from the guilt of our sins? Pray, pray till you get the answer. Persevere in prayer and say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. We may be praying for our children or for the minister, for his hearers. And we're to plead the promises that the Lord does save sinners. He blesses the gospel. The children have been baptized, have the name of God upon them. And will not God, for his own name's sake, his own glory, deliver souls from the punishment that their sins deserve? He is able to pluck them as brands out of the fire. For all the congregation's needs, for all our family's needs, for all our own individual needs, we're to make these matters of prayer, bring all our concerns to the Lord. Yes, our fears, our worries, we're to disclose all to the Lord and persevere in prayer. And soon we will prevail. Well, in the third place, Jacob not only prayed, he not only persevered, but Jacob prevailed. He said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. But then the angel asks him, in verse 27, what is thy name? Now this would be humbling for Jacob. Jacob could only say, Jacob, that's my name. Well, Jacob means supplanter. He had supplanted his brother, taking the birthright by deceit. Jacob was a sinner. He had a deceitful heart. It showed itself in deceiving his own father. Did Jacob deserve the blessing? No, Jacob was a sinner. My name is Jacob. And it was also humbling to Jacob to have a permanent limp afterwards, so that he halted upon his thigh, verse 31, afterwards. And even though he had this victory in prayer, he still had the means of humbling him because of his limp. And so it is that it's hardly a time when God's people experience a victory over sin or triumph in prayer that they will not also find some defect to make them humble. They might have forgotten something to pray for. They may even see pride coming over their hearts because of their prayers. And it's all to humble them and keep them low before the Lord. Even Paul had a thorn in the flesh after he had seen wonderful things, and the thorn in the flesh was given to him so that he would not be exalted above measure. So these things are good for God's people, to keep them humble, because they're still sinful and they tend to be proud over their attainments, over their victories. And so we need these things to keep us humble. And so Jacob acknowledged that this was his name. His name is Jacob, supplanter. He was a sinner. But this humiliation prepared him for a commendation. It prepared him for this recognition. The angel said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So Jacob receives a new name. He would not be called Jacob. That is, he would no longer be called only Jacob, because he's still called Jacob. He's still identified as Jacob later on. But it's not only going to be Jacob. It's going to be Israel, because he's a prince and has power with God. Now, Israel means he contends or strives with God. Sarah means contend, and El means God. Israel, the one who fights victoriously with God. As a prince, thou hast power with God. So Jacob prayed to the Lord. He persevered in prayer, and now he overcame in prayer. He prevailed. He had the victory over the angel, and in human language, he prevailed upon God to receive the blessing. He wrestled and he won. He wrestled the blessing, as it were. He wrestled the blessing from the Lord. The Lord was not unwilling to give him the blessing. What the Lord wanted was to see Jacob wrestle. He wanted to see that earnestness. He wanted to see the vehemence in his desires for the blessing. And when God saw that, he gave the blessing. And he says that as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob had prevailed with God, and he was not going to be defeated by man. He had already overcome Laban, and now he can expect victory over Esau. And now Jacob wants to know the name of the man who wrestled with him. Verse 29, "And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." Well, why did Jacob want to know the name of the angel? First of all, why did the angel not give the name to him? "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" There was the same situation with Manoah and his wife when they were informed that they would have a son, and they called him Samson. Now they wanted to know what the name of the angel was. "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is secret or wonderful?" Perhaps it was a rebuke to their curiosity and to Jacob's curiosity. Perhaps the request was denied so that Jacob would not be proud. I even received the name of the angel. But perhaps it was so that Jacob would not think, well, since he prevailed over the angel, now he can just tell God whatever he wants and God will do what he says. No, we must never forget, God is not our servant. He is God Almighty. And he graciously bestows blessings upon poor, unworthy sinners that we are. We must never forget that. But perhaps Jacob asked the name because it was a rhetorical thing. "What is thy name? That is what's most important to me. Yes, my name is Jacob, but oh, thy name is wonderful." That might have been the case. But the fact of the matter is, Jacob received the blessing. "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. The angel blessed Jacob And when Jacob receives the blessing, then all doubt is taken away. He knows that this man who wrestled with him is God. That is the effect of receiving the blessing. We know that the Lord is present. When we receive the answer to our prayer, we know it is the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Yes, the one who forgives our sins and who assures us of his grace and love. Jacob received the blessing, and then he knew it was God. And yes, sometimes when we receive the blessing of the Lord, it is often the very same things we experienced before, but we feel those things in our consciousness with power once again in our souls, of God assuring us of our love, giving us assurance that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Well, Jacob prevailed. And that is what God assured him of. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. It's a wonder that God attributes to the exercise of the believer's soul that which is really his own grace, power. Of course, we're nothing, but it is God who's giving us the grace and enables us to persevere in prayer and prevail. Well, that should stir us up all the more to pray for grace, to persevere and prevail in prayer. Who are those who are good examples in the church? Who are those who are the holiest people that we know? As J.C. Ryle puts it, they are the ones who are praying most. Those who are closest to the Lord, those who are shining examples, they are the ones who are praying continually. They're taking time out to prayer. They're going to their closets. They're spending time in prayer. Their husband or their wife knocks on the door. What are they doing? They're praying again. The friends come and they find that, well, my friend has been praying again. These are the ones who are closest to the Lord. These are the ones who are shining examples of keeping God's commandments. And they're the ones who are most useful, the ones who are most prayerful and persevering in prayer. Oh, friends, let us not neglect the duty of prayer. Do you pray? Does this characterize you? Does this describe your life? Do you persevere in prayer? Do you pray at all? Are there desires in your heart for things that are agreeable to the will of God? Are you praying in the name of Jesus, relying on his merits, trusting in his blood, basing your hope of forgiveness, acceptance, and encouragement in prayer upon Christ and his mediation, praying in his name, not praying because you deserve the blessing and you should have it coming to you, no, but praying only for Jesus' sake, only for his righteousness' sake. And do you persevere in prayer, praying because you should, praying because you feel your need, praying because you know the Lord is near? And the more that your heart is affected by the preaching of the word or of family worship, reading the Bible, the more that you feel conviction or impressions on your soul, does this say, make you say in your heart, I need to go pray? The sermon has touched me. I need to go to my closet and pray. When I get home, I'm going to go to my room and get on my knees and pray. Yes, and when you feel the Lord drawing you, oh, that is the time to go along with that and persevere. Press on. And perhaps you feel that you're being opposed, you're being hindered. Break through it. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Press on. Pray. What if you got discouraged and you say, that's it, I'm not going to pray anymore? Are you going to get a blessing that way? What if you had gone down on your knees that evening or morning, and it was that occasion, that was going to be the time when God was going to answer you? And so that if you don't receive the answer or the blessing, you have only yourself to blame for not receiving that mercy from the Lord. The Lord is not unwilling to give good things to those who ask, those who pray in the name of Jesus, those who are drawing near and pleading the merits of Christ. Oh, be resolved to pray, to persist in prayer so that you might prevail in prayer, that you would not rest until you are blessed in your soul, that you would be like Job, who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Be resolved to seek that you might find, to ask that you might have it given you, that you would knock so that the door would be open, and recognize that the blessings are free. Again, we say that we must not think we can earn them, and it's not even our prayers that procure them. Our prayers cannot procure in a way of merit. We don't purchase by our prayers. It's only the means of receiving the blessing. God is willing to bestow it upon us. And when he sees that we truly desire it, that we desire earnestly the blessing, that we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, then he will grant it. Yes, out of the fullness of his heart, he will grant the blessing to us without any mixture of grief. Because the blessing of the Lord, that's what Jacob desired. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And those who fear the name of the Lord, they will have Christ shining upon them. We read that Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. God was gracious to him. And we also read, and as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him as he halted upon his thigh. And the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings to those who fear the name of the Lord. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Lord, help us to give thanks unto thee for the instruction of thy word, the example of Jacob in prayer. Oh, that we would wrestle with thee, that we would struggle on, persisting in prayer, seeking thy face. Oh, how can we praise thee when we go down to the pit, as the psalmist prayed? Oh, that we would be stirred up, Lord, that thou wouldst grant the blessing, that thou wouldst grant thy favor, for in thy favor is life, and thy loving kindness is better than life, any life in this world. Shine on us with thy face. And so we shall be saved and pardon all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 28. Psalm 28 from verse 7. The Lord's my strength and shield, my heart upon him did rely, and I am helped, hence my heart doth joy exceedingly. And with my song I will him praise. Their strength is God alone. He also is the saving strength of his anointed one. O thine own people, do thou save. Bless thine inheritance. Them also do thou feed, and them for evermore advance. Psalm 28 from verse 7, three stanzas to God's praise. The Lord's my strength and shield, my heart upon him did rely.